Greetings to all in Jesus' name. We're very grateful to be here and have another opportunity to gather and worship God. It's been a tremendous blessing to be here already this morning with a different thoughts that have come forth. The songs that were chosen, it does display where our hearts are turned towards when we choose those hymns with those beautiful messages. There's a phrase that keeps ringing in my ear from what David shared here this morning, and it came from one of his verses that he read there, verse 22. It says, "Have faith in God." This isn't something you can send or hand to someone on a silver platter and say, "Okay, here, have some faith." This is something that each individual has to come to a realization, or how do you say it, to have a reliance and a dependency upon God through faith. As we have that story with Thomas, blessed is he that believes and doesn't see. And we have the opportunity here today to many things of God's word to be able to believe, and not we don't necessarily see it or have experienced it in physically, but we believe. I thought of asking Brother Luke if you would pray for us. Maybe we can stand. Maybe pray for the rest of the service here. Pray for me. Pray for God's word that it may be multiplied to us the rest of the service here, if you would do that.
Let's pray. Yes, Heavenly Father, we come before you once again this morning. Thank you for this opportunity to gather together in this way, Lord, to worship you, just desire to lift your name on high, to magnify you. Just thank you for who you are to us, Lord. I just pray for Brother Mose here as he stands to open up your word to us, Lord. I pray that you would give him wisdom and guidance, that you would direct his thoughts, that you would encourage him, give him peace, and just use him as a vessel, Father, to proclaim your truth. And pray that you would help us to be, that our ears would be open and our lives would be ready to receive what he shares with us, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that you would bless this part of the service, and pray that you would be glorified. And our faith is in you. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In your name, amen.
Thank you for that. Well, again, we greet you, all of you, in the precious name of Jesus. It is an opportunity that we have that we sometimes, I think, we take for granted. So I would encourage us all here this morning, with the privileges that we have to engage all together in this, not be just innocent bystanders, but to engage in the worship and what the Lord has further here. I felt to continue to look at what we have been looking at is the Holy Spirit and the different aspects of the Holy Spirit. I for sure don't have the last word in it. Just some thoughts and ponderings that I have at a personal level that we're going to be sharing on this morning. It is a topic, as I've said before, that I fear that we wouldn't deter from focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one God in all His glory. He deserves our attention. He deserves all our worship. So I would hate for us to deter from that. But yet there's an aspect that is here that I think would help us in our Christian walk in viewing and how we view some of these things. So let us delve in here. And turning to Ezekiel, there's quite a few scriptures here that I want to read here at the onset. So if you would turn with me to Ezekiel 36, got a few verses there that we want to read here. For a title this morning, it comes from these portion of scriptures, and I would just term it this way: a new spirit will I put within you. A new spirit will I put within you, lest I forget. Verse 22, Ezekiel 36. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen whither you went. And I will sanctify, notice as we read through here, all the I wills. This is God speaking, giving a message to Israel there. Notice all the I wills. That's not the message here this morning, but it's definitely good for us to notice and recognize the I wills or the will I's that are in these. We're going to be reading all the way to 30. So 22 to 30. Verse 23. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which you have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. Notice the God wants a people. Even here in Ezekiel, he's telling them, I want a people that exemplify my name, that bring glory to me, that not only that, but it speaks to the heathen nations around them. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. And I will also save you from all your uncleannesses. And I will call for the corn and will increase it and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the tree and increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Notice all the I wills and all the increases and all the multiplyings that God will do. For they only turn to Him and recognize where all this is coming from. But notice in verse 26, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Let's turn over to John. John 14. Let's read from 16 to 26. John chapter 14. We're talking about a new spirit from God. God wants to place a new spirit within us to be His witnesses. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, this is read in my Bible, Jesus speaking, and I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another comforter. There's the Paracletus that we talked about last time, and the work that it did, and it came to do in chapter 16, the work of the Holy Spirit. And He shall give you another comforter, that you may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me, because I live. You shall live also. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that keepeth my commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Verse 22, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come with him and make our abode with him. That's plural. It's not singular. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. And I believe that we cannot separate the Holy Spirit from God Almighty. Here it says, we will come unto Him and make our abode with Him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Jumping on over to 15, verses 1 through 11. We'll just keep on reading here. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. One more verse in John 16, verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. Okay, let's turn on over to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Here Jesus is telling them, just wait there in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I will read two more other portions here in Acts, then we'll come back to this one here. I'll just read them. I have them before you. You don't have to turn there. Acts 1, verse 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Also in Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And when they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Here in verse 49, Luke 24, we have this verse. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. I have a little illustration thing that I want to try to drop on the board here that some of these thoughts came to me last night, and hopefully it makes sense to all of us. Pertaining to this verse, especially in the last phrase, but you be endued with power from on high. It's not something new. So, and I'm not an artist. So you just bear with me here. Okay, so here's preaching. He's going to his big year here. Here's just another person. Picture he's seeing. This focus is on this fellow right here. So he's seeing another. This one's hearing. He's hearing the Word of God being preached. He's seeing another godly example, another godly life. He's taking this all in, seeing this example, seeing a godly example. Okay, we'll term it that way. And then we have the Bible here that this fellow's reading from time to time. It's with his eyes, he can see, take it in. Here, somehow we get a picture of a new heart. Will I give you a new spirit? Will I put within you? Picture of a heart. We'll put the Holy Spirit here. Going with the scripture, he's wanting to make his dwelling place within us. This is what we could term the, and a couple different things, and we'll empowerment, or empower, or enabling, which would be, could also term it the grace of God, the Holy Spirit within. Maybe on the other side, we can put influences. Like I'm a little short at one end. So these are influences. And this was also influence. We could term the grace of God, that divine, that divine influence. On the heart, then it's expressions in life. The I'm writing a little small here, but I can't read in the back. That divine influence upon the heart and its reflections in life, or his actions. We could put 2 Peter here, that empowerment. I don't know that I have it. I don't have it before me. But that power talks about that power. 2 Peter 1, I think it's verse 3 and 4. We could put Titus here, talking about the grace of God that teaches. Okay, we're talking about the promise of the Father. And this verse here, in verse 49, we have, until you be endued with power from on high. Endued gives a sense of, sometimes the translation, one word, it means clothed. But there's also another thing that's in there that I think it defines it a little bit better than being clothed. Clothed is something that you put on, which that's right, that's biblically correct, where you have something that you put on, you clothe yourself. Says put you on the Lord Jesus. So that in that sense is correct. But there's another thing, there's a little phrase in here that stuck out to me in the definition of endued. And it is sinking into a garment. When you spill something and you go to wipe it up, it draws within the rag or whatever you use, it draws the liquid within. And that's the idea that we get to be clothed, to be endued. Okay, the power, the promise of the Father is upon you. But tarry you in Jerusalem until what the promise comes and soaks right in you. It comes part of you. Until you be endued with power from on high. So this little illustration here, we have tremendous influences, preaching. It's tremendous to hear the Word of God being preached, seeing a godly example. Those are tremendous influences that we can learn from, that we can glean from, that encourages us and blesses us and builds us up, helps to build us up. The Bible, the truth of God's Word that we can glean from and take, but none of these will give you the inner power like the Holy Spirit of God coming within us will. Even though these are good influences, now under the Spirit's influences, these things can all be multiplied. But left to this in itself, it will not give you victory over sin. We're not talking about a visitor that's coming and comes to your home and sits down on the couch and visits for a while then leaves. We're not even talking about someone that moves in and makes a dwelling place within your home and takes up one of your bedrooms and is there forever to stay. We're talking about someone that takes control of our lives and lives within us. And empowers us with the grace of God Almighty, living and acting out of us. Sinking into a garment, clothed with power from on high. How does this look like? For Jesus, it looked like this. 1 Peter 2, verse 19. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endured grief, suffering wrongfully, for what glory is it, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in His steps. We're talking about the indwelling of the Spirit of God here. Verse 22, 1 Peter chapter 2. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. There's no type of deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges equally, righteously. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. We are to walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5, 13 to 16. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is a life change that takes place when we come under the Holy Spirit's direction. How does it look for the apostles? We have that account in Acts 2, 4 to 6, just coming off of what I just read here earlier. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at the Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. And now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. For Paul, it was a 180 on his Damascus Road experience. He was not the same. He was forever not the same anymore. He could no longer do things he used to. And to be truly born again under the Spirit's influence, one no longer involves himself and does what he used to do before coming under the Spirit's power. We see people get born again and don't see their life change a whole lot. Their passions are still what they used to be, or maybe wishing they could still do what they were doing, even if it's a little subdued. The question I have is, what did Jesus do for you? Or for them, or for us? And what did you get? What did we get delivered from? You might still see them hankering after the things of the world, and it shows up in different aspects of life. Is this the transforming power of God that we're talking about when the Holy Ghost, the promise of the Father, comes into our lives to transform us? Is this what we're really talking about? Is a good question to ask ourselves. How do I know if I have the Holy Spirit? I want to try to look at some evidences. Evidences, plain, seen clearly, no question. First one we're going to look at is assurance. The Holy Spirit gives us assurance. And we all like that. We all like assurance. We like security. You find it, you see it. In the whole insurance industry, we want to be covered. We want full coverage. Liability is not enough. We want full coverage. We want our backs to be covered. I'm here to suggest to you this morning that we have opportunity to be fully covered by God. We must believe that. If there is no assurance, our testifying will be pretty lame. We will lack confidence and purpose. If we have no assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ, what will be worth fighting for? We'll grow discouraged and just want to give up. And if we are discouraged and our life is not at peace and rest, how will we witness? And by the way, we are called to witness, not defend. We're not to be defenders, we're to be witnesses. But how will we witness? Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Notice the confidence in Paul's life. He had enough confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ that he knew that if he follows Christ, others can follow him. Assurance. Maybe for us it would be thus. Come follow me. I don't know where I'm going. Half of the time I'm discouraged and ungrateful. But I think I'll end up where I think we are going. You know, somebody like that would come to you and start preaching to you. You would really jump on board, wouldn't you? You would really just jump on board with that type of assurance. In today's world, people want something solid. And so do we. Think of that song, Blessed Assurance, that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We have opportunity to experience that today. That foretaste of glory divine. It's the complete opposite of fear, because fear has torment. How can or how do we gain assurance? We can ask ourselves, what pleases God? What is it, when God looks upon us, that marks us as His own? When He looks down upon us and sees Himself working, manifesting Himself in us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, that brings glory to God. When we look at our own life, what marks us as His own? It's the same thing, the Holy Spirit. 1 John 4:13. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. God sent us the Holy Spirit to be with us, to empower us. Now, for some it might have been a dramatic experience. Others, maybe not so. For the one, it doesn't come continually, the dramatic experience. For others, God may have a different work for you. But don't let any of this deter you off of the way. Let not that be your focus. Our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus, not on all these other... side things. So assurance. We must, or we should, have assurance in the Lord Jesus Christ for sure. Another evidence is the obedience to the Word of God, or the Word of the Spirit, which is the Bible. 1 John 2:3-6 says it this way. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith, he abideth in him, ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. 1 John 2:28-29. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And if you know that He is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Then 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous. First John has a lot to say about some of this. Another one here is, another evidence is a Christ-like acceptance of other people. Here we go to 1 John again. Chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. We can easily talk about the dying thief. He never stole from us. We can easily talk about the woman taken in adultery. It didn't have anything to do with us. But what if something like that happens in today's world with us? Then what is our response? Is there a Christ-like acceptance of other people? Now, we're not saying we condone things that others do. That's not what we're saying. But when somebody steals from you, then what? Somebody wrongs you, what's my attitude? Holy Spirit of God, evidences. We're talking about evidences. Loving my brother in spite of his foolishness, severity, you name it. Yes, there may be a problem. But how I respond is also an evidence if the Holy Spirit is in control of my life. Here's another one. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. 22-26. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, or envying one another. Paul could have expanded this list some more, but it seemed to God this was a nice sample for us. Are some of our days what seem as fruitless days? You know, there's some days, maybe you're a lot different than I am. Some days you just feel like, what have I done today? But they're not fruitless days if we had opportunity to express or display any one of these virtues on a given day or in a given moment. Think of that. We have opportunities. Maybe there was no humongous thing that we did that day. Maybe there was no dramatic thing that we did, no lightning flash experience that happened that day. But you had opportunity to show your brother, your sister, love. You had opportunity to build them up. You had opportunity to witness to someone, or give a word. Maybe it's just another day at work. How much glory is in that? But I would imagine that in your workplace, there's other workers you have opportunity to lift up. Are we life givers? Do we have access to life? Do we have that connection with God that God can flow His life through us? Is God within us? Another one here, another evidence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is victory over sin. These are all evidences that the Holy Spirit is within us and directing and controlling our lives. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans 8:13 and 14. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, He doesn't promise to us that we will never sin again. But He did say in Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over us, you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. When we say about victory over sin, we're saying that sin doesn't have dominion. It's not controlling our lives. The Holy Spirit of God within us, sin will not control our lives. Another one, another evidence. A desire to share Christ with others. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses. That's the word martyrdom, as we've been taught. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Witnesses, martyrs. My life must bear witness to what I say. And whether we realize it or not, it does. You know, can talk really spiritual. And we know that sometimes we think we can fool others, not realizing what kind of fool we make of ourselves sometimes, I think. I think sometimes that by our fair speeches, we think we can bring the wool down over someone's eyes. But our life displays in what we go after, what we spend time with, these bear witness of who we are and what we're about. They do. We're to be witnesses. Again, we're not to be defenders, but to be witnesses of the faith. Not all of us will go knocking on people's doors or go as a missionary. We can or should be missionaries here. And we shouldn't be content in being quiet when we have opportunity to share about the marvelous things God has done for us. Personal testimony that no man can take away. What God has done for you, for me, no one can take that away from you. I still remember in prison, it was in Alabama. I don't know all the details, years haven't gone by. But God used my own personal witness to, for the lack of better words, to shut this other man up. He was saying the grace of God is, you know, it's nothing. He was mocking God. He was mocking God in front of all these others. And I was able to share part of my testimony. No one can take that away from you. What God has done for you, that's what God wants you to witness, to use to witness. Evidences. A transformed heart is another evidence. And yes, from all these others, this should be I don't have these in order. Trust this was taking place clear at the beginning. Romans 8, verses 5 through 11. And I don't have that before me. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit are the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raiseth up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Transformation. It's not of this, but of this. Not of death, but of life. The correlation there. Talking about this Holy Spirit and evidences that the Holy Spirit of God is in us. What do I find myself talking about? Carnal things? What am I involved with? What do I spend time with? What do I think about when my mind is free to rove or to roam? Where do I find my thoughts going? Many so-called Christians have the world in their hearts. When they meet a genuine Christian, they name him many things. They call him many things. Legalists. He's a better hypocrite. Because they can't imagine somebody living that way. They fail to realize when the Holy Spirit of God comes in a person, it changes their nature. When I realize and experience this, it gives me confidence that God is with me. Or it can. Not in a proudful way or boastful way, but just the settledness, just that assurance that we talked about, that God is leading, He's directing. Another one, joy, a part of the fruit of the Spirit. Now we could do this with probably any one of those that are mentioned there in Galatians, but joy. It specifically mentions it in our readings. That's why we drew it out in John 15 there. I'll just read that verse again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So when the Holy Spirit of God comes in a person's life, there's that joy, there's that settled joy. It's not that he's jumping around and doing all kinds of animated motions and, you know, to show that he's happy and such, but there's a deep, settled peace and joy in that person, that individual's life. You will find joy in a true Christian. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Romans 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction. That sounds like travail. With joy in the Holy Ghost. Having received the word in much affliction, with joy in the Holy Ghost. That's Thessalonians. The Holy Ghost is joyful, and we will be too if we have His presence within. Yes, we may face difficult things. Yes, we may be challenged. But in comparison to all that God has and is for us, how could we not be filled with joy? This type of joy survives griefs, injuries, frustrations, misunderstandings. It's not slain by these things. This joy remains. If God, the Holy Spirit of God, is truly within us, yes, those things come, but the joy remains because God is there. It keeps us from sinking into despair and hopelessness. And it adds even more sunshine on a good day. You know, in the scope of things, we really have no reason to hang our heads. Okay, so we're going through a difficulty. That's okay. But then we have full provisions to rise above that. In other words, we don't stay in the dumps. We really do have the victory in Him, joy. I wanted to line 113. I've appreciated that song so much. Maybe we can sing it too sometime, or maybe this in closing. What joy within the courts. I'm just going to read it. Talking about joy. We're talking about being filled with the Holy Ghost, God being within us, and this joy coming out of our lives. What joy within the courts of God, to find our spirit's native land, released from chains of earth and time, redeemed before Christ's face to stand. The heights of glory we shall climb, the richest depths of love we'll know. There we shall gaze upon the one we have but dimly glimpsed below. The molded clay that blinds our eyes shall shatter at that trumpet sound. The sins and tear stains of the world shall fall like rags upon the ground. With faces raised toward the light, we'll stand perfected at His throne to drink the cup of endless life and know at last as we are known. What songs as heaven and earth unite, ascend unto Jehovah there, and what harmonious thunders pour as holy incense on the air. For this we watch and wait. For this throughout the years have cried, our God shall come, and in that day we shall be fully satisfied. Joy within the courts of God. We see and experience the great joy in this present, in His presence, and in this present life. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy, and at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The witness of the Spirit. Is another evidence. Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. He gives us inner testimony that all is well. Whether speaking to us specifically or through these other avenues or evidences. Some may ask us, how does it feel? How does it feel to have the Spirit of God within? What do you tell someone? What would you tell someone? You come up to us, okay, so you're filled with the Holy Spirit. How does it feel to be filled with the Spirit of God? What would you tell them? You know, in some ways you can't really explain to them, except you know how it feels when there are things that aren't clear between you and God, or between you and another brother, or between you and maybe you treated someone wrong, and there's something in your heart that just tells me I need to make something right here. There's something the matter. And that's the witness of the Spirit. That's God's mercy. That's God's faithfulness in speaking to us in that way. It feels miserable until you clear things up by responding or putting the matter in the open or repenting if need be. If we are honest, that inner witness tells us a lot. That is the Holy Spirit doing its work. It desires that our matters are made right. You can put sin in there too if it's sin that we're dealing with. Okay, in closing here, one very important thing remains in this whole picture, this whole scope of things, and that is faith. Some of these things, maybe you can't put a finger on, or you can't put a, you just can't grab a hold of it. That's where faith comes in. We must believe God. It is not mysterious. Okay, so you make a transaction at the bank. All the proof you get is a little piece of paper stating that they did what you wanted them to. And the rest is, you believe that that's what they did. I don't know if this is a good illustration or not. But all you see are the numbers on the receipt. That is all. And we accept it. Say, okay, that's good for me. And we go on our day. The Lord also gives us those evidences. But He expects us to trust Him too. And we do it by faith. The Spirit's work, I don't believe, is entirely complete unless we reach out in faith. And this is where many fail. They try to drum up their faith and try to have faith in their faith. And on we go. But the Spirit of God wants a deep, settled peace with each and one of us that all is well. And we believe in faith. Now, if there's something that He's pinpointing, that He's putting a finger on, then yes, we better respond. A new spirit will I put within you to enable us to love. To love truth, to be victorious, and to live Christ-centered lives. How silently, the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. It's a little side note. Thou will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And heaven isn't heaven unless God is there. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of His heaven. No ear may hear His coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive Him still, the dear Christ enters in. I'll leave you with those thoughts. Thank you for listening. Be attentive. God bless you.